Good morning, Faith Baptist Church. Let's come in, have a seat, and we'll begin our time of worship. It's a blessing having you here today, and what a privilege we enjoy together. I want to emphasize that word together, and I want to go to Psalm 95, and I'd like to read just a part of that psalm and emphasize something that the psalmist is saying. So just quiet yourselves. Begin to think about God and His greatness and listen now to what the psalmist says. He says, "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods." When I read that scripture this week and I just thought about the words of the psalmist, that word "us" just kept coming out at me, and it reminded me of the great privilege of worship. That one time a week, think about this, one time a week, God's people, Faith Baptist Church, God's people here, can come together in unity. And we do it right now, this time of worship. Now, we come together many times during the week, but think about it. The whole church, the church can meet together right now, at this point, on this day, in unity and togetherness. And our purpose is one, unity to worship our great God. And we're so thankful for that privilege. Let's do that today. Let me give just a couple announcements before we worship. Today at 11:30, we will have a business meeting, and we encourage members to stay for this meeting. We have some normal business, and then we also have a membership item to bring before the church. Our Wednesday services are normal Wednesday services, ladies' Bible studies on Tuesdays. Check your bulletin for men's studies. Just check your bulletin for detail in those ministries. And we're just so grateful that Faith Baptist Church is functioning and we're doing what God wants us to do. We're being obedient to the Great Commission. Jesus said, make disciples of all the nations. And we can do that anytime, any place, under any situation. We're glad that you're here. Tim, let's worship our great God.
Good morning. Let's begin worshiping together this morning in unity as we stand and we will sing, "We Will Glorify the King of Kings." Thank you. You may be seated. Let's bow our hearts this morning before our great God as we begin to worship this morning. And Dave Millage, would you be willing to lead us in prayer this morning after a moment of silence here? Thank you.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this incredible gift that you've given us, where we can corporately come before you and worship you for who you are and what you've done on our behalf through Jesus Christ. And Lord God, we praise you for your greatness and for your mercy and your grace poured out on us. Lord, we ask that today our hearts would just be attuned to the fact that we are here because you have granted us that privilege. No work of ours can bring us before you, but you have completed the work for us through Christ. And Lord, we ask that today our singing would honor you, our thoughts and our meditations would honor you, that we would see more of your goodness and greatness in your word as it's opened up to us. And Lord, if today here there is one who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior and have a relationship with you through Christ, we ask that you would just be working in their heart, that they might see their desperate need for you and respond to you, God. And we thank you for this opportunity to join together. We come before you only in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
Do you remember learning how to count to 10? Some of you guys down here, younger people, do you remember learning how to count to 10? Do you guys remember learning how to count to 10? How about to 100? Can you count to 100? Yeah, okay, great. How about 1,000? Can you count to 1,000? Boy, I don't know, some of the adults may not even be able to count to 1,000. Well, we felt pretty proud when we started being able to count. If you remember, even as a young person, you know, 10, 100, 1,000. But then there was 10,000, and then 100,000, and then 1,000,000, and 1,000,000,000, and 1,000,000,000,000. How many of you ever counted to 1,000,000,000,000 before? Anybody here? Yeah, I bet none of us have. You started to realize that no matter how high you learned to count, you would never get to the end. You could always count one more number, 1,000,000,000,001, 1,000,000,000,002. There's always one more number. This is mind-boggling when you realize our number system that we have never ends. But it's even more amazing when you realize that God has existed longer than 10 years, than 100 years, 1,000,000,000, 1,000,000,000. God has existed longer than 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000 years. God has existed forever. As high as you could count or even imagine, God has existed that long and longer. If I start thinking about that too very long, my mind starts kind of freaking out and melting down. It's like, wow, I don't get it. But God reminds us that he is eternal. In Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2, it says this: "You have been, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth in the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Our God is eternal. And yet this great God, this great eternal God, looks into this little blip of time and cares about this little blip called me and you. And he desires to help. And that even is mind-boggling. How can this be? How can the great infinite God care about me? We're going to begin this morning with hymn number 84. Please stand as we sing, "Eternal Father, Strong to Save." couple little glitches there, but we made it through. Our God is everywhere. He's eternal, and he's everywhere. Let's listen to some verses now that remind us of God's everlasting existence.
Isaiah 63:16. You, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer from everlasting is your name. Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits in eternity, whose name is holy. Psalm 146:10. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord.
We think of God as eternal, the Father as eternal, and very true it is. But so is the Holy Spirit, and so is the Son. I want to focus just a few minutes here on some verses to remind us of the eternality of Jesus, God the Son.
Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 1:8. But to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Revelation 1:18. Jesus said, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen.
Jesus Christ is eternal. We want to sing a chorus. I'll let you remain seated for this. It's All Heaven Declares. Reminds us of the greatness of Jesus. Let's do that first verse one more time. As we think about our God who exists forever, we need to remember that he does not completely reserve this characteristic or attribute to himself, but he shares it. Let me explain here. Because God lives forever, he can share eternal life with us. Though we, each of us, had a finite beginning, we all had a starting point, each of us who has faith in Jesus Christ will have no end. We will live on eternally with God. Let's listen to some verses that remind us, some very familiar verses, but remember, we think about God as being our eternal God.
Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 10:27-28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. John 11:25. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?
And if you do believe this morning, you can lean on this eternal God. Know that his power exists forever, and know that we who believe in him have everlasting life. In Deuteronomy 33, it says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Please stand as we sing hymn 459, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. 459. You sit down, 1 Timothy 1:17 reminds us of this. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Good morning, everyone. I'm thinking, when I singing, when David Martin pray, he most part of the time in his prayer, he says, thank you, Lord, for one more day. This is the reason. This is this is good for a reminder how God is. God is good. God is merciful and gracious with all of us. All. So this time a time for our offering. We continue to pass our plates, but you have opportunity for after worship service or before worship service, if you have your offering, the place continue the foyer. You have complete time for put your offering there. But maybe I go preaching now because I have a lot of passion. No, I'm kidding. But Pastor Timmy looked for me and says, not as he and me. Okay, so, but it's good to remind us is God loves us not only about salvation when we look at the text in John 3:16, but God loves us in our relationship like father and son. We saw many passages in the scripture said that God showed this love for us. And God showed this love for us when he disciplined us. I know. Discipline, it is not good to hear. It is not good to listen. But discipline is, I remember one friend in Brazil said, discipline is the way that God uses our life for bring us back in the right way. And my kids maybe say for me, it is not true, Dad. Because it's hurt. Yes. Discipline has this purpose. Because the sin is hurt. The sin brings pain in our lives. Jesus suffered a lot of pain. And he never committed any sin. But he died on the cross in our place. And you ask me, but he is God. Maybe you say, but he is God. He don't feel nothing. No. He feel everything. Because he paid for our sins. He suffered every sin you can imagine in your life, in my life, in that cross. For this reason, when God disciplines us, sometimes hurt, and hurt a lot. But it's because God showed his love for you and me. Like when you open the Bible, like Proverbs 3:11 and 12. In Proverbs, this two verse. Look at Proverbs. Sorry, I look in Job, but it's Proverbs after Psalm. This says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves he whom he loves. As a father, the son in whom he delights. The author of the Hebrews used the same thing in chapter 13. The same thing. He used this passage. When you look, example, in Job 5, I want you to see this something important. God disciplined us because he loved us. But when God disciplined us, the scripture says, behold, blessed is the one whom God reproves. You are blessed when God disciplines you. Look what Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 19. Psalm 94. No 19. 94, 12 and 13 said, blessed is the man whom you discipline, O Lord. You are blessed. God not only loves you, but God bless you when he disciplines you. Look how amazing is our life when God disciplines us. Maybe my kids think now I'm not blessed when God disciplines me or when my mom disciplines me. But one day, he goes back and says, I'm blessed now. Because the discipline my parents gave me, it for my entire life, for me to learn how he loved me because God loved them. And show this love for us. My friends, God loves us. I know you look your life, you look in around us and see terrible thinking happens. But God continue to love us because this is the way that God can show us. Continue look for me. Continue walk in this path. Continue look in the scripture. Continue talk with me, pray every day. Because only in me you find rest for your soul. Only in me you find peace. only in me you find salvation for your soul. Let's pray. Brother David, can I pray, please?
Heavenly Father, this is indeed a beautiful day that you have given us. This is the day that you have laid out for your children. We are reminded that this is our Father's will. We are grateful, Lord, that you have taken us from being enemies of God and brought us into the eternal family of God. And that our time in the present and our time as we spend here is not in vain. You use this to rear your children, to make sure that we're grounded, that we start growing in the likeness of our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. That we will take on the attributes, the characteristics of the God in whom we are his children. Father, our desire is that you would help us and continually help us, and that we would not resist the help that you provide for us, that we would be holy as you are holy. Our desire is that we would live above immorality because we are in a royal family. We have a Father who sent our elder brother to be our chief example. Father, help us today as we've been reminded. Chastening is not for our destruction, but for our stability. And so that we would grow and that we would look back for the discipline to realize every discipline did not come out of anger or frustration, but it came from a heart of love. And Father, we ask today that you would help us to be patient, that we would desire to be more patient, and at the same time that we would trust that the work that you have begun in us, by your own word, through the promise provided to us by the cross and the resurrection, that the work you have started in us, you will complete. We thank you for Jesus, Father. All that he did and represented you, he did everything that was pleasing in your sight. He honored you while he walked this earth. Father, we want to be just like him. Help us today. We give you the glory. For Jesus' sake.
Thank you. Good morning. Ages 2 through 4 are dismissed for children's church at this time. For the rest of us, we will read Mark. I will read, and you can join with me in listening. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. It reads, "And again he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, 'Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root in it, it withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yield a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, 'He who has ear, hear. Let him hear,' and I will add to this one what the Spirit has to say." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Beloved.
Verse 9. This will be the focus of our prayer this morning. Mark chapter 4, verse 9. After Jesus gives this parable, Mark writes and he says, "And he said to them, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" And may that direct our prayer right now, that God, by his grace, give us ears what Jesus says. Let's bow our heads right now. Father, thank you that we can continue to worship. We praise you, Father, for worship that would focus upon you, that would give us opportunity to lift our voices, to sing, to praise your name, to see truth from your word that would direct our attention to who you are, what you've done. Thank you, Father. May that continue now as we look at the words of Jesus. May that continue, Father, by a hearing, a thinking, a believing, a receiving of your word this morning. We count it a privilege to be here. So please, Father, direct our thoughts, guard our thoughts, help us to worship you by hearing your word this morning. By responding to you. We thank you, we praise you for this great gift of your word. Use it as you will in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Here in Mark chapter 4, verse 1, we're told that Jesus was again teaching by the Sea of Galilee, and great crowds were following him. We've seen that throughout our study of the Gospel of Mark. Great crowds begin to follow Jesus. And the crowd was so large that the scripture says here that Jesus had to enter a boat. And as the crowd gathered on the shore, Jesus taught from the boat. So you can picture that in your minds, can't you? Great crowd on the seashore, Jesus in the boat, and he begins to teach them from the boat. Who are these people in the crowd? Are they believers? Are they followers of Jesus Christ? What is their spiritual condition? Frankly, when I asked that question, as I looked at the passage, I then turned it to myself and turned it even to this group of people, and I will do that even this morning. What is your relationship with the Lord? Who are you that are gathered here today? What's your true spiritual condition? Now, of course, I can no more look into your hearts today than the disciples could look into the hearts of that great crowd that gathered there on the Sea of Galilee. But I would submit to you, I would share with you plainly, that Jesus could look into their hearts then, and Jesus can look into our hearts right now. And he does that. So to this great crowd of people, Jesus revealed the spiritual condition of their hearts through a parable. He would often do that. And it's called the parable of the sower. Some would call it the parable of the soils. And Jesus would actually use common dirt to look into the hearts of people. Now, in this parable, Jesus presents four types of soil that represent four responses to the Word of God. And folks, what that means is that every one of us will see ourselves in this parable. Every one of us responds to the Word of God. And our response to the Word of God will have a direct impact on our salvation and our spiritual growth. So the question is, how do you respond to the Word of God? In verses 1 through 9, Jesus gives the parable. And then in verses 10 through 12, Jesus explains the reason for parables. And then in verses 13 to 20, Jesus explains this specific parable. And so our focus this morning will be verses 13 to 20 as Jesus now gives his explanation of this parable of the sower. How do we respond to the Word of God? Let's look now at Mark chapter 4. Notice first that Jesus presents what we will call the roadside dirt. Let's begin with verse 13. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." And so Jesus now proceeds to give the explanation of this parable. And folks, it is a parable about the Word of God. He says in verse 14, the sower sows the Word. So everyone here this morning, truly, it's an amazing thought. Everyone here right now hears the Word of God. But not everyone here today will receive the Word of God. We will hear. Will we receive the Word of God? You see, there will be people here today who will say no to the Word of God. There will be people here today who reject the Word of God. Now, let me remind you, I can't look into hearts. I cannot see right at this moment what's happening in your hearts. God does. Jesus does. But looking at this crowd this morning, looking at the people who are gathered here today, I can say that people will hear the Word of God today, but there will be people here today who say no to the Word of God. For whatever reason, when we think about this parable that Jesus gives, for whatever reason, they will allow Satan to take away the word that is sown this morning. They will allow Satan to steal away the precious seed of the Word of God that they will hear that is sown today as we come together. Now, folks, Satan has many ways to do this. When Jesus gave the parable, he gave the illustration, he gave the picture of the birds, plural, the birds of the air came and they plucked those seeds out of that wayside dirt. Satan can use many ways to do this. Most often, in cooperation with our sin nature, Satan can steal the word of God when there is bitterness and anger in our hearts toward others. Satan can steal the word of God in that way. And Satan can block the word of God when there is a refusal to confess and repent of sin. Satan can block the word of God in that way. Satan can bring temptation to sin that pushes out the word of God in our lives. And so, folks, there are many, many things used by Satan to rob us of the word of God. And as a result, our hearts can become like a well-worn path. Our hearts are like roadside dirt. They become hard. And most often, it's simply saying no to the Spirit of God through the Word of God. And so there is no change and there's no growth and there's no receiving of the Word of God. And sadly, it means that Sunday after Sunday and meeting after meeting, you might come and you might hear, but your heart is closed. And let me be clear that it doesn't mean it happens every time that you hear the Word of God. Because you can hear it and you can receive it, but then something's happening in your life and there's a battle with your sin nature or there's a battle with Satan. And at that point, on that day, in that situation, Satan robs. And he takes the Word of God that was sown. Our home in West Virginia years ago was very close to my wife's grandmother's house. And whenever she would come to our house, she would walk on the same path every time she came to the house. She had a well-worn path from her house to our house. And when we would go to her house, we would use the same path. That path was right in the middle of a section that we would use for a garden, but we never did. First of all, that was her path, and I wasn't going to use her path for a garden. But second, it was a path that she used, and it was hard. The ground was hard. It was hardened because she walked on it very much. It was too hard. It was packed down from the walking. And I always made sure that our garden ended before we got to the path because it was useless to try to grow anything near that because of the path. It was just too hard. And right above that garden, there was a road that led to a tractor shed. And I always stopped the garden before I got to the road because the ground near the road was just too hard. And it didn't take long to find out that you can't raise a crop right beside a road. The ground is too hard. Are you one of those roadside Christians? When you hear the word, do you tune it out? Do you turn it off? Even right now, ask yourself right now, am I hearing what's being said? Am I receiving the word of God? Do you say yes? Do you say no to the word of God? See, if your heart is like that roadside dirt, then there'll be little change in your spiritual life. That's roadside dirt. Look at the passage, because Jesus then gives us a second kind of dirt, and we'll call this the stony dirt. Look at verse 16. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. And afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So, brothers and sisters, here then is a response to the Word of God that is very shallow. There is some soil, but it's only on the surface. Jesus here calls it stony ground or rocky soil. In this case, notice there is a response, but it's just superficial. The word is heard, and the response can be immediate, it can be enthusiastic, it can be emotional, it can be impulsive, but there is no root. There is no foundation of belief. And when trouble comes, whatever it may be, things like persecution or hardship or decisions regarding service or choices of priority or testings or trials, the shallow Christian will fade away and fall away. And both you and I have seen it. Maybe we've been there. See, a person gets excited, gets enthusiastic. You begin to see them in the meetings of the church. And then at the first trouble, at the first trial, they're gone. It's too hard. The price is too high. The cost is too much. It's like they're roller coaster Christians. Up and down and up and down. And there's no consistency and no stability and no foundation for growth and service. Now, in truth, they may not be true believers. But if they are, their walk with the Lord rises and it falls on their emotions. And at the slightest wind of trouble or trial, they're knocked over. Now, many of the mountains in Wyoming are high and they're steep. And because of the steepness and the angle, the soil in those mountains is thin and rocky. Now, those steep mountains can sometimes be covered with trees. There are certain parts that you can drive through and they're covered with trees. But many of those trees have shallow roots. As a matter of fact, I have seen large trees growing on top of rocks. You see, there's just enough dirt on the top of that rock for the tree to take root, and it begins to grow, and after a while you begin to see the roots of that tree move out and go down the rock. You see, there's not enough soil. There's not enough dirt for those trees to put down deep, solid roots. And the trees may survive for a while. But if a strong storm blows or a deep snow falls, the trees will lean and they'll lean and sometimes they eventually fall. Why? Because the roots are weak. There is no foundation. It is stony dirt. Does this describe your heart? Are you like one of those trees with weak and exposed roots? Are you one of these stony ground believers? Are you ruled by emotions and not by the Word of God? See, if your heart is like this stony dirt, then there'll be little change and little spiritual growth in your life. That's stony dirt. And then Jesus gives a third kind of soil, a third kind of dirt. Look at verse 18. He talks about the thorny dirt. The thorny dirt. He says, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You know, as I was reviewing the passage, and I'm just jotting down some notes, I wrote this down. If we could look at many believers in 21st century America, here they are. Here they are. Now, I want to be careful when I say here they are, because see, I really should be saying here we are. Here we are. We often live in the briar patch. See, that means that these believers, their hearts are like this thorny dirt. They are Christians that are covered by the cares and concerns and the crunch of this world. The world has become a briar patch that will suffocate them and will retard their growth and their maturity. And look at how it happens. Look at how Jesus says this. They hear the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And so there's worry and anxiety and concern about the details of living, and it chokes the word of God. And the idea here in this word is that these cares and these concerns, they cover and they compress and they squeeze and they obstruct the word of God. And folks, this is what the things of the world will do. That's what the world does. They will suffocate and they will choke the effect of the word of God in our lives. And when these things grab you, it's hard to get away from them. There was a time when our boys were small and we were out hunting and we walked through a power line right of way. Now, power line right of ways are great places to hunt, but the problem is after a while, after they're put in, they grow back so thick. The brush is so thick. But they're great places to hunt. I followed a game trail right into one of those right-of-ways and even had to get down on my hands and knees to crawl through it. And before I knew it, I was right in the middle of a briar patch. And these are the kind of briars that have these long branches and they have these big thorns. And they grab you. And I was caught on the arm, and I was caught on the back, and I was caught on the head, and I just had briars that were sticking on me. I tried to pull it off with my hand, and it got stuck on my glove. And I tried to pull it off with another glove, and it was stuck on that glove. I looked at the boys, and they were caught. And I thought to myself, what a way to die, smothered by a briar bush. And I finally pulled my gloves off, and I pulled my jacket off, and I removed my hat, and I carefully had to remove every briar that was holding on to me. And I did the same with the boys. You see, once they were stuck, once we had those briars in us, it was hard to get away. The world's like that. It will grab you, and it's hard to get away from it. You know, folks, it would be foolish to water and fertilize and cultivate a briar bush. But we may not admit it, but that's exactly what happens in our lives. We give ourselves to the briar bushes of life. We give our hearts to the concerns of this world, and the Word of God gets choked in our lives. Watch out for these thorns. Be on guard against these briars. You see, there are many, many believers who never grow, they never mature, they never become complete because they live in the briar patch. And the briar patch of this world, the concerns of this world, the cares of this world have them caught. Years ago in the Appalachian Mountains, someone introduced an innocent little bush to the hills that was designed to stop erosion along road cuts and creeks. And it was called multifloral rose. It looked innocent. It bloomed into a beautiful flowering bush in the spring, but before anyone realized it, it became the scourge of the whole region. They outlawed it. They tried to kill it. It spread. It grew. It became a continual fight as it swallowed up good land and good pasture. And folks, when it grew, many other plants around it died because it got so big and it spread so much that nothing else could grow. This can happen in the lives of Christians. The deceitfulness of riches and the desire for things cover their lives and choke out the Word of God. If your heart is like this thorny dirt, there'll be little change. And then Jesus presents a fourth dirt. Look at verse 20. We'll call this the good dirt. He says, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. You see, folks, this is good ground. This is good soil. This is the receptive heart. This is the believer that receives the word of God. The word of God is given, the word of God is received, and they bring forth fruit. You see, these are true disciples. They've accepted Jesus Christ. They believe his word. They allow him to change their lives. And look at the evidence. You see, this soil is rich, it's ready, it's productive, and fruit is produced. Jesus says some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. See, I think the more that they receive the Word of God, the more fruitful and productive they are in their lives. These are the Christians who grow. These are the Christians who serve. These are the Christians who put the Word of God into practice in their lives. They share it with others. Their hearts are good ground, good dirt. You know, you can never imagine the difference in dirt until you travel around the country. In the mountains back east, the dirt is a reddish brown. It's a light clay brown in color. Most of the soil actually is washed off the hills and it's landed in the river bottoms in the valleys. Along the ocean, that dirt there, it's sandy, it's light brown, and it's pale in color. And it's really not the best for farming. But here in the Midwest, it's almost black. Right now I'm thinking, first time I came to the Midwest, I was astonished at the black dirt of the Midwest. You see, I came from the hills of West Virginia. I never saw anything like, well, the only time I saw anything like it was at Walmart, you know, with potting soil or something like that. But I looked, and everywhere I looked, there was rich black dirt. It's rich. It's good dirt. It's good ground, and it produces. And brothers and sisters, that's the kind of response that will bring fruit in the life of the believer. You see, good dirt hears the word and receives the word and bears fruit. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I want you to see the words of the Apostle Paul. Of course, he's writing to the believers in Thessalonica, and he talks to them about their response to the word of God. It's a familiar verse, but I want you to see it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Look what he says. He says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively works in you who believe. See, folks, that's good ground. And I share the Apostle Paul's heart here when he says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because I have seen the Word of God received. I have seen the Word of God believed by people, by His people, by God's people who have hearts of good ground and good dirt. And just like the Apostle Paul, I can thank God without ceasing for those who hear the Word of God and who receive the Word of God and who produce fruit in their lives. And some it's 30 and some it's 60 and some it's 100, but praise God, they receive His Word and the fruit is produced. That's good ground. And that's a heart that receives the Word of God. Does the Word of God find good ground in you? Is your heart like this good dirt? If it is, there'll be change, there'll be growth, and there will be the producing of spiritual fruit in your lives to the glory of God. It's a simple parable. Jesus gave it, and then the disciples had questions, and then in this parable, not like every parable, but in this parable, Jesus explains it in detail. And I'm so glad, because we need it. We need to catch this glimpse of our hearts. Jesus gives four types of dirt, four responses to the Word of God. There's roadside dirt, there's stony dirt, there's thorny dirt, and there's good dirt. Do you see yourself? Which dirt describes you? How do you respond to the Word of God? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for this parable. Thank you for the words of Jesus. Father, I ask right now, by the work of your Spirit, that you draw us to yourself. You give us understanding. You help us to see ourselves in the light of this truth that's before us. And God, in your grace, change us. God, move us, help us to be good dirt. Help us to be that dirt. The hearts that will hear your word and receive your word, believe your word, and produce fruit. We do this for your glory. Thank you, God, for what you'll do. We praise you. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together.
Please stand, and we're going to close this morning with Higher Ground, hymn 397. Hymn 397, Higher Ground.
God for His Word, because I mean, it's a wonderful thing to look at a passage of Scripture and be able to walk away from it and say, that was me. And frankly, we should be able to do that with every passage that we look at and every truth that we look at. Did you see yourself? Did you see yourself in that passage? Please don't go home and say, well, Pastor called us all dirt. Because Jesus said, that's a picture of our hearts. What's your heart look like? Let's submit to Him. Humble ourselves before Him. Receive His word. Believe His word. And be changed by Him. Good ground. Good ground. To Him be glory. Let's sing.
I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to fill the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray to have my crown. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Oh, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
And all God's people said, amen. 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 We praise God for His word. Pray and ask that God change us by His word for His glory. Thank you for being here today. We're going to bow our heads. We're going to close this time in prayer. We'll take just a few minutes break, and then we're going to have a business meeting. And we encourage members, please stay. A couple things we need to look at. Please stay.